Sometimes they bring oil up here for me to pray over, and I forget it. A lot of things on my mind, and sometimes I forget it. I hope everybody's enjoying the singing tonight. Taylor was singing right out of his heart. Some of the others, and I was enjoying it, and I hope that you have too. And if you want to have another singing, if you'll tell me when you'd like to have it, we can announce it ahead of time. And people really turn out for singing. And I was thinking over there, we have services that will probably be on Tuesday night. It's a little crowded where we have services, but the different ones that come down, they seem to enjoy it. And we're praying that we can get a building where it won't be as crowded so that more of us can get around. Also like to, while we're talking, announce that we have in the, as far as I know now, I talked to Brother Dixon over in the evening, and we're supposed to go to Pearl, Mississippi. Not this Friday, as far as I understand. I hope I got that date right. But it's the next Friday. Is that right, Frank? The next Friday. And of course, some of them have already said something about wanting to go over to be there at the service on a Friday night. Whereas as far as I know, depending on Brother Larry, I don't know what he's got scheduled. He's got his license now. The bus has got new tires, so far as I know. And I guess the motor's in pretty good shape. It's supposed to be. It's more than 400 miles over there. It'll probably take, I'd say, probably 8 hours of driving. But The ones that would like to go, well, you're welcome to go, and we certainly would appreciate your presence. I have never preached in Pearl, Mississippi. I have, Betty and I spent the night one night in Jackson, Mississippi, which is probably 10, 15 miles from the place called Pearl. Something happened to our motorhome, and we was there. Brother Cooksey, some of you are familiar with him, he pastors the church there, and he had asked us to come and minister for him. And up to this point, we had not gone. But Brother Dixon, who pastors a church in Memphis, called today. And he said, Brother Pike, I've never met you. He said, but I've heard others talk about you. And said, Brother Cooksey, myself, some others, whoever's involved, had gotten together to have an awareness service. And they had wanted me to come over to be, to speak for them. Starting in on a Thursday, and they're going to have a few ministers, he said, to testify. And then on Friday night, he wanted us to speak. And then, of course, Saturday you can leave, or the people can leave and go back to their homes. So I told him that as far as I know now, we would be over. We also, today, during the day, got to talk to Brother John Lane a little. And Brother Dixon is wanting to come over to the tabernacle to visit here to see our place, campground, and whatever. Another thing, appreciate if you'd pray about, and that is we have someone looking at a lot over in, it's just outside of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I think, from what I have understood, it's about 20 miles from each place. The As far as I know, they're looking at the lot, and it's an ideal place for setting the tent. And I'd like for you to pray about that. There's some that's already wanting to go to the tent meeting, and I feel the Lord would bless us. Now, I'm thankful to have Brother Atlas' sister and a brother-in-law. Both of them are very fine people. They work at the hospital over in Oregon. I think the sister's been there for about 19 years, and he's been there for over 20 years. And they're real fine people. I talked to the brother some over in the evening, and he's real conscientious toward Christ. Very fine man. And I want to apologize. I know the people are not here tonight, but apologize to Stan. I kept trying to think this morning. I thought, well, there's somebody here that I want to make mention of, and I just couldn't get it to register to save my life until I had gone over to Athens and come back and started into my home. And then it registered that it was Stan's parents. And I haven't had a chance to talked to the mother very much. She seemed like a very fine person. But his daddy is just a jewel. His father is just a jewel of a person. I've talked to him a couple of times. And I'm really sorry that I didn't make mention of him this morning. And then, of course, I'm glad to see Eloise and some of the others back there. Some of the, looks like son-in-laws, daughters, and whatever. I noticed there's quite a number of sinners here tonight, and it would have been good if we could have had the word of the Lord so that we could have reached some of them. And maybe one night they'll come back and we'll get a chance to reach them. But we're thankful tonight to have you with us. We appreciate you coming out to be with us. Sometimes things, maybe they're a little different from what you expect, but everybody has to do what they have to do, and everybody has their own idea about things, and we just have to work with them as much as we can and let them get their idea in when they can. And then, of course, whenever we can get the word of the Lord in, try to get the word of the Lord in. That way everybody can kind of work together. When we go out under the tent, beginning, I don't know when the services will start, probably. I hope we'll get started at least by the 1st of May. Whether we do or not, I don't really know. But I hope we can get started by the 1st of May. And as far as I know, if the Lord will bless us and allow us to live till that time, keep us safe in His Spirit, as far as I know, under the tent, we usually try to preach the Word just as much as we can. And those that are interested in the Word of the Lord, growing in the grace and knowledge of God, then we would like for you to be with us in the meeting. I'm sure that numbers of them would like to go to the Carolinas to be in the meetings because it's their home. And I don't know what kind of meeting we'll have. We have always had practically a full tent, or most of the time that I can remember, a full tent in the Carolinas. And the only time I know that we ever had a real problem where we had kind of a, sometimes we'd have a pretty good crowd and sometimes we wouldn't, when we was there at the fairground and they couldn't get the tent up and they had a whole lot of problem, and they just kept on till the people got kind of disturbed with us and they expressed their opinion about us taking so long to get the tent up. But nevertheless, the Lord still blessed us. Rainy, muddy conditions, whatever, He still blesses. But we've all always had a good meeting, and we've been under the tent twice in the areas of Archdale and High Point and back up in that area three times. And in every time, we've had a tent full of people. So I don't know what we'll have, but we're still expecting the Lord to bless us. So you pray with us and ask God to help us, ask God to show us the right way, and ask Him to help us to preach the word of the Lord. At the same time that we'll be up there, there is supposedly a convention, the carryover of this at Pearl River. They're supposed to have a convention that they're going to make, a world convention. And I don't know what the results will be. I'm not familiar with it. But I do know that some of those that are involved are real influential around the different parts of the United States, and as to the rest of the world or whatever, I don't know. But whether we be involved or not, only the Lord knows, you know, as up to this point. But we're probably, from the way they've got it scheduled, it looks like that their meeting and our meeting is running together up there. And ordinarily when that happens, I try my best to I always try, you know, if I'm running into another meeting, I just kind of counsel out and let the others have their meeting and I go in later or whatever. But in this particular instance, as far as I know, unless the Lord speaks to me, I wouldn't be able to do that because the Lord positively told me to go there and have service. And I would just have to work out whatever works out in the way of whatever way God works it out. Now, I'd like to pray over this all. This is some all that some people have here, and they patiently wait on me. They've already brought this up for me to pray over, and I didn't I didn't have a chance to pray over it, and they've been real patient. So then if you would like to pray with me, I'd like for us to pray over this all. Ask the Lord to bless it. Is there any prayer clause over here? Are they? Can you get some, brother? We'll get a prayer cloth or two, and we'll get some real good response from these things. As a matter of fact, people have come back, different brethren, with the prayer clause, and thank you, brother, with the prayer clause and with the all reports, that is. And they've been astounding because they have been outstanding miracles. Not just healings, but outstanding miracles. And some of them took place real quick, even to the amazement of the brethren. And the testimonies have been beautiful. Now, Little Bethlehem, you don't know too much about things like that because my ministry, they don't have any follow-up or anything of anything that God does in our life as a rule, just kind of a sporadic thing. And you don't know too much about what happens or what don't happen. But I hear about it because I get a letter or different ones come and tell me, and it is so wonderfully encouraging as we try to do something for the Lord. These are prayer cloths, and we're going to pray over a few of them. Prayer cloths, as a rule, don't really mean anything to some people. But some people, they are really confident that if you pray over cloths, that it's like it was in the days of Paul the Apostle. The Bible said that aprons was carried out from his body, and by those, special miracles was wrought. But not these. I had tonight, Lord had really given me something beautiful for the church. I might be wrong about it, but I felt it was the very thing that would have really set their faith on fire to do what they really wanted to do. But maybe another time, if the Lord will bring it to us, whether He will or not, I don't know, but maybe He will, since it's so late tonight and the baby's already getting restless, mother's a different one. Got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Well, it worked out that there's 12 and there's 3 bottles of oil. So tonight, let's just pray together. Can you just stretch out your hands in this direction by this, letting me know that you are concerned and letting God know that you're concerned and that you're praying with me. And let's pray earnestly and sincerely over these. Precious, wonderful Father of Heaven, I ask You to forgive my sins. Lord, I am nothing less than the least. I am not wise, but Thou art wise. I am not strong, but Thou art strong. I am not righteous, but Thou art righteous. And Lord God, the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. I ask You to let me, as David of old, hide Thy Word in my heart, that I may receive life. For by Thy Word You cast out the unclean spirits. And by Your Word You sent Your Word and healed them, Father. And by Your Word You created the heavens and the earth. And O God, You said in Your Word that You uphold all things by Your Word, and that You esteem Your Word above Your name. So then tonight, as I have faith in Your Word and call upon Your Word, O Lord, and lay hands upon the cloths, in the name of the Son of God, heal, O God, heal in Jesus' name, and anoint. O Ramandarama Shandriyataramanaya, precious, loving, holy, considerate, kind, compassionate Father, in Jesus' precious name, Lord, heal and touch. O God, bless tonight and convict souls. Save souls tonight. In the wonderful name of Your holy child, Jesus, we ask You to do it in Jesus' name. Amen. This all is sitting out here, and whoever it belongs to, you can come and get it. three-prayer clause that is supposed to go with this bottle of oil right here. So don't anyone get those. Out of these others, you may have one of these others. They'll be laying right here. And you welcome to them. We don't have a lot of them that we prayed over tonight. I had a prayer cloth in my billfold that I kept for a long time. And it really seemed to have inspired my faith to the blessings of the Lord. I think George Jr. kept one in his billfold. Until it just tore up or whatever, he may still have it. Kept it for a long, long time. Now, if you'd like to, we can all stand together and sing a song or two. And while we're singing, I'll give you a chance, all of you. If you'd like for all of you, just come and stand before the altar tonight. We'll pray a prayer. And then after that, we'll be dismissed. All of you would like to sing this chorus with us, "Into My Heart." Come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again, can you? Come into my heart. Come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today and come in to stay. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Don't you want the Lord in your heart tonight? You know, there's nothing like going with Jesus. We're getting closer and closer to the judgment. Betty and I today, we were walking together over at the mall. And as we walked through the mall, I noticed that in numbers of stores, they have the most beautiful long dresses. Some of the dresses, I mean full garments that really cover, real ladylike. And I saw those today, and I thought today, you know, I made the statement here numbers of years ago that the long dresses would get to be popular. They would come front, and they would be so beautiful, and they'd be praised so. And I said the women will continue to be wicked and grow more wicked. And they'll throw away their virtues and their lives and all of the values of a lady. They'll lose it. And then I said after that, according to the scripture, they will have become so common and distasteful in the eyes of men that seven women will be seeking one husband. Whereas I think, as far as I know, there's some that's married more than seven times. But anyway, it is true that now there's women everywhere. You know, it comes to pass to where they get like dogs, and men don't want to get around them. They make a joke out of them, and they slap them, and they spit on them, and they despise them, and they can't stand them in their sight. Like the man of old, David's son, that did the evil, hideous thing he did. Then, after defiling his own sister, he despised her. He hated her. And so it is in the world today. When you throw your morals and virtues away, you become despised. In the sight of God, you become like an old pig and an old dog. You become despised, and you become despised in the eyes of the men. And to you men that throw your lives and virtues away, you become a joke to women. And when you talk about being a husband, you're just a big joke. They literally despise the sight of you because you've robbed them and killed them and stole from them and took eternal life from them, in that you are the stronger vessel and you know better, and you are the one that caused the filth. The woman being the weaker vessel, you took advantage of her. The Bible teaches that in hell they'll gnash on you with their teeth. And they'll get to where they despise you. And I said, and after they throw away their morals and everything, get through running around in their little old tight jeans, I said, then they'll realize that they're on their way to hell and there's nothing left for them. Then they'll want to find the long dresses and they'll want to see what a lady looks like. And when a woman goes by that's a real lady in their heart, they'll just yearn after her. And when a man goes by that's a real gentleman, a real clean, upright person, the men will loan after him. Though they act like they don't, women and men alike, but they've secretly come to me and talked to me and told me their heart. And they loan after the upright. But they say, Brother Pike, out there in that world, I have to put on a false face. And I have to be like the rest of them. You know, and it's come to beatniks, come to hippies. It's come to, I don't go to these shows, but once in a while they publish pictures of them. And different ones that go, they mention this to me. They chew up something to cause a bloody mouth, and then they vomit. They spit it out and they lap it. They get down, you know, and they do these shows of lapping their vomit like Jesus said the dog would do. And they get down to the wallowing in the mire. They've been known to do all kind of filthy things and mud holes and everything else. Demon possession. They're supposed to be great, outstanding people to the youth. But what it is, it's demon possession. And now they've got their club going, and it's a big club, where you join it and you belong to the devil and you become the worshiper of the devil. Publications all around. You can read it for yourself. And all of these hideous, freakish looking people are demon possessed. And their children are being born demons and freaks, twisted up, bad, pitiful, hideous, mental conditions, all kind of things. Women that one time were lovely and beautiful are freaks, and they look hideous, and they look synthetic. They've used so much powder and paint and chopped their hair off and twisted it up and burned it up, and their bodies have been abused until they look hideous, and they don't even look like real women of health anymore. Men have stooped so low with all of their evil doings and nightlife and filth until they look freakish and they look hideous anymore. So it's a sad state of affair. And yet they rage on, and the Bible said for one reason, God gave them up to a reprobate mind, to believe a lie and to be damned. And that was because they didn't love His word and didn't care for His truth. They like most anything, from football to singings, and even gospel singings, they'll stay all night. The Bible said that His word is one thing that they don't care for and they don't love. And He said, because you did not like to retain the word of God or the truth in your heart, and that He said, my word is truth, He said, then I've given you over to reprobate mind, to work those things that are unseemly, man with man, that which is evil and corrupt. And man leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust. He said, I've given you over to these things. And I have caused the women to walk with haughtiness and wantonness, much wantonness of the flesh. and said, I see that the daughters of Zion walk haughty, mincing with their feet as they go. Said, I'll take away all their beauty and all their lovely attire and all the wonderful things that I've given them. I'll beautify the meek with salvation. He said, and I will expose the secret parts because they have been hideous in my sight. Make them like dogs and like animals until seven women will take hold of one man, saying, will you marry me and take away my reproach? I am nothing and nobody wants me. And I'm nothing but a byword and a reproach. And I'm tired of it. And I'd like to be a lady and I'd love to have a home. Would you marry me and give me your name that people won't despise me and spit upon me? But this is what you wanted, folks. That's what you asked for. That's what the world has been after. Like my brother said one time, said he told the Lord, said, take your hands off of me and leave me alone. Said the Lord did. A day or two down the hill, he went on a motorcycle and crashed into, I believe it was a semi-trailer truck. When he come to, he was laying in the hospital. Said he come to long enough to look up and see a crucifix and passed out. And he said since that day he's been in misery. Misery. Broke. Having problems even till today. So the world wanted the Lord to leave them alone and let them do their thing, and they did. Demons have taken over human body and they've manifested themselves through what you call pretty faces and pretty forms and form-fitting clothes and whatever. And now God is fixing to withdraw from humanity. Like we said, the time is fulfilled. And he's fixing to let you have a king called Antichrist so that you can do all you want, and he'll give you a number so all of you will be one big group. So that you won't get scattered away. And he'll protect you because he'll kill out anything that won't join your group. And the Lord will let him do it. And God will do this so that you can have a good time in what you want to have. And then after your good time is finished, you come to your ultimate. Then the Bible said he'll turn you into the lake of fire. And subject you to eternal damnation and punishment. But that's what you wanted. And you can be there with the football players and the basketball players. And like I said the other day when I was preaching, I said that the sports leaders, boxers, they reflect the courage of God and the courage of Jesus. Being reflectors, they get great supernatural ambitions and become great people. And like Joe Frazier, I believe it was the boxer, is it? That just won, I don't know what he won, the heavyweight or some boxing bout or whatever. When he knocked the man out, he got up and gave his testimony and said it was Jesus. Praise Jesus, he said, because Jesus is the one that gave me the strength to do this. Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that. I don't know. God gave David the strength to run through a troop and leap over a wall. The only thing is, David reflected the Lord because the Spirit of God wasn't given in that day to fill a man. So these boxes reflect the Lord. They see his perseverance and the character of these great men of God. It inspires them and they become almost superhuman through the reflection. And God gets the glory of the rain on the just and the unjust. Not the glory in that God has hurt anyone, but the glory in that God has given endurance that has been misused by a mind that is perverted and a mind that is altogether in unbelief and stooped into things of the world in the lust of the flesh. It's real sad, but this is the generation of today. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, these young people have to live their lives. You've got to give them time. The elders have had more time. When we get old enough, then we'll quit all of this and we'll live our life. But see, the Bible says that there will be a sinful generation and an adulterous generation. He didn't say that they would change, that they would live their lives and then change their mind. He said throughout their entire life they would be sinful, they would be adulterous, they would marry again and again, live with each other without marriage and defile the holy things of God, in that the Bible said the bed of the married is undefiled and all, but the whoremonger God will judge. And he said that there would be such a lustful generation that they would wear their clothing in such a way that they would lust after each other as they walked down the streets. But the Bible said if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. And as I said, in the day of judgment, because she wore her form-fitting clothes and because you lusted, both of you will stand together in the judgment, though she may not know your name and you may not know her. But you'll stand there as evildoers and those that have committed evil in the sight of the Lord God of heaven. And I know some of you don't believe that, and it doesn't mean anything to you. You do it all the time, and you've seared your conscience like as with a hot iron. It doesn't bother you a bit. The Bible said it would be like that. Said that generation would be so evil that they would sear their conscience with a hot iron and get past feeling, and nothing would bother them, and it doesn't. So it doesn't bother you if the preacher preaches it. It doesn't bother you if anybody says it. But it's still true. I never will forget a little illustration that God brings to my mind. Heard a preacher tell this one time. He said it was true. Preacher preaching about hell. Young fella heard it. He went outside and got in his car. He sped down the road, he passed the preacher, and he mocked him, and he said, "Preacher, how far is it to hell?" And he laughed and went on. Didn't get too far and went to turn a curve or whatever, and the car turned over, it wrecked. He was laying in a puddle of blood when the preacher got there, and he was dying, and he looked up and he said, "Preacher, I know how far it is to hell now," and he closed his eyes in death. I remember another case, I believe it was in Macon, Georgia, at the church there. A girl mocked the preacher in a similar manner, went out, climbed in the car, and went on her way. And before she could get home, she ran into a tree, and death struck her. And she had a similar testimony. Now you see, playing with God is a dangerous thing. God is real merciful, and He'll let you be religious, and He'll let you do whatever you want to. But at the same time, the Bible said you'll give an account for every deed that you've ever done. You young boys and girls that are here, you men and women. Everything that you ever done in your entire life from the time you become accountable, that is to know right and wrong, it is marked down in heaven. The Bible said every deed and every word that you have ever spoken, whether in secret or not, the Bible said in the day of judgment ye shall give an account thereof. And not only that, but your thoughts, the Bible said, even to the intents and secrets of your heart, I will judge them by my word in that day, God said. Every thought that you ever thought, whether good or bad. So there's nothing that's concealed, there's nothing hid. All of your backbiting, all of your evil gossiping, all of your filthy talking one with another, all of the evil, abased things that you ever done, every one of them is on record. And you've got to answer to God for it. I'm a preacher. I was sent to preach that and to tell you that. And you don't believe that, many of you, but it doesn't matter. Paul said, in that day God will judge the secrets of men's heart by this gospel I'm preaching. So there's nothing here that won't be brought out into the open. Tonight, while we're standing here, you have a chance to call on the Lord, as far as I know. And it's getting mighty late. Mighty late. Because as far as I can tell, according to the gospel, you don't have but a very little time. A very little time. Your time is passing away. Your time is slipping by. Some of you may not have till the morning. You may die before the morning. Some of you may not have till the end of next week. It may be on your record right now that you've already shortened your days by your disobedience to the extent that you've used up your grace. God allots every man and woman so much grace. And if you use it up in a hurry, then you shorten your days. You use your grace up quick by just continually dabbling in the things of the world, just in a continuation. Then when it's used up, it's too late. That's why that you see a lot of youth in our day dying. Is because they are continually in a practice of iniquity. They're not like people in years gone by that would do evil and then go a while and do evil. They are in a repeated thing. Therefore, they use their grace up quick. And they're cut off very quickly. And they go down to the pit very quickly. So then, you that have time, ever how long it is, whether you have a day left according to your allotted time of grace, or whether you have a week or a month. As the Bible said, if you desire long life, refrain your tongue from speaking evil and keep from doing evil. But whatever you've done, whatever your life is, whatever the consideration of God is toward you, as to your actions, negligence toward God, gossip, backbiting, cursing, drinking, fussing, whatever. It's terrible. It's like somebody told me just the other day, a person comes to church regular here. A woman that wears a long dress, they said she was just a cursing and a snorting and a going on. I mean, just fierce. Somebody says, well, that's all right. No, that's all wrong. It's not all right. Somebody says, well, God understands. God doesn't understand a bit of it. Says, well, God will be merciful. God has been merciful. I say that that person, along with me or any other person in here, will reap what they sow, everything they've ever sowed. The Bible said, for every transgression, God made the angels pay for it, or will make them pay for it. How much more you that neglect the word of the Lord. There's people in my midst right here now. They are grieved. I mean, they are deeply grieved, and they are suffering heartaches that they'd give almost anything if they could come out from under those heartaches, get away from those heartaches. The death of loved ones taken away from them. Sorrow, wives been corrupted, their wives have been corrupted. Men, drunkards, can't get loose, dope addicts. Deaths, heartaches, sorrows, all kind of things. But see, it's too late, folks. You've already done it. You've reaped that, and you've got to reap all the other that you've done. Somebody says, well, I'll come to the Lord. But I tell you again, you may come to the Lord. But it's like this, if you get your eye put out when you come to the Lord, you've just got one eye. If you lose your arm, you may come and repent, but you just got one arm. That doesn't give you arm back. And you that have done wickedly and evil, God is going to deal with you. I noticed when we was traveling on the plane, I had to watch some of the people and the children and scold them and just get downright sharp in my words. Because they wanted to sit and watch the movies on the plane. So I don't believe it. Well, so anyhow, there they didn't do it because they caught me watching them from time to time. But did you know what? That was in their heart. And did you know what? They've been doing it when they were back here. That's why it was in their heart. And did you know what? They'll go on doing it because it's in their heart. You do those things, you read evil books, magazines, love stories, whatever. It's in your heart. You're hungering after it. Going to church, being religious won't help you. It's in your heart. You hunger after the things in your heart. But the Bible says if you are a Christian, you will hunger and thirst after righteousness. You'll have a hunger after God and you will be filled. So then, it is astounding. It is unbelievable. But it is true. Even with the religious people. While you're here, let's just lift our hands up to God for a few minutes. If you've never given your heart to God, Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And let's call upon the name of the Lord. The Bible said it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My mind goes back to a number of young boys that came to the church here, and men alike, that I warned and begged and pleaded with. And I asked them not to do the things that they were doing, and I prayed and warned them. And every time I warned them, practically every time, they got in trouble, they got in jail, something happened to them. And the Lord tried to help them, tried to break them loose from their evil. But they got harder and harder in their heart and went back more and more. And finally I told them that destruction was coming, and it hit them. And the young men went out to meet God. I know of some young women that went out to meet God. And I know of some that wasn't young that went out to meet God. Horrible, hideous deaths. In my lifetime as a minister, wherever I've traveled, I could write a book on so many multiplied people that we spoke to and warned that's dead, killed, torn up. Hideous things happened to them. My wife was telling me today of something. I wish we had time to relate it. A young boy that left the steadfastness of that which was right and got mixed up in dope. So hideous and horrible. The things that happened to him, maybe one night we'll relate the things. But it was unbelievable. All because he did those things and displeased God. While you've got your heads bowed, let's call on the name of Jesus, can we? Shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's call on the name of the Lord. Your life may not be very long anymore. As I say, I don't know how much of your time you've used up. May not be very long. But whether it be long or whether it be short, let's just call on the name of the Lord tonight. And let's ask God to intervene tonight. Can we do that? Wonderful God of heaven, as I lift my hands up to Thee tonight, I ask Thee for mercy upon my soul. I ask You to forgive me of my sins, my Father. Lord, forgive me of my wrongs and my foolishness. And oh, as I feel Your mighty anointing upon my body, upon my spirit, as I feel that mighty anointing of the only Holy One there is, the only good one there is. Oh, Lord of heaven, Thou who art concerned about these souls, You alone know the worth of a soul. Father, You died with a broken heart upon Calvary in a human body, bleeding, torn, wounded, hurting, sorrowful, in misery. Lord, engraving us in the palms of Your hand that You might remember us, in Jesus' name. Look down from heaven in the name of the Lord and have Your way. In Jesus' lovely name, save tonight. Oh God, deliver tonight. Have Your way tonight. In Jesus' name, save these people tonight. Save these people tonight. You know, if my sister Eloise is here tonight, I'd love to see her come and kneel down here. Because I saw her then standing in the midst of the flames, and I saw the flames consume her. The other night I had a vision of her, and I saw death and the powers of the evil one coming for her. And you know, I feel like that God is dealing with her and Sam, because I made the statement concerning Sam. I said, if Sam doesn't do something after we prayed for him the last time, I said, death will be like that. And then all of a sudden after that, that lung of Sam's collapsed. And Sam told me today, said, George, he said, the doctor said if I'd been, I believe he said 5 minutes later, I'd have been a dead man. And I believe that God showing me this of Eloise tonight has to do with her children. I believe that the flames of hell is about to devour her family. I believe that the judgments of God is fixing to move in and literally devour her family. They have been out away from God, and they know the way of the Lord, and they've heard it. I wouldn't speak this plain to you tonight if I didn't believe this and didn't feel it. I've never done this to you before. Out of all the years, you've done what you wanted to do. But I'm telling you exactly the truth from the bottom of my heart. And I'm hoping and praying to the God of heaven for mercy for you, because I beg for mercy for you continually. And the Lord has given you mercy. But there's just so far that God will go when we get to know right and wrong. And you know what? I believe this is just something that I'm saying tonight to her, to let you and me and all the rest know that our families and our children have gone about as far as God's going to tolerate. That He's let the thing go about as far as He's going to tolerate. And it is my conviction, folks, according to the prophecy that I gave down the street of Dolorosa in the old city of Jerusalem as I walked the streets prophesying under the anointing. It is my conviction that the time is fulfilled and the desolation is at hand, and that this entire generation of young people, that God is fixing to fall upon them in such a way that He's going to literally let the devil massacre them. And by the thousands, He's going to destroy them. I believe He's that angry with them. And I honestly believe this year, you can talk to my wife and see if I'm telling the truth. I honestly believe that this is the year that God's going to make His move. And it is my conviction that them that are on the borderline, God's going to either make them get in or get out. If I'm right, we'll see it. And if I'm wrong, we'll see it. But I've got many people here at Bethlehem that are borderliners. They criticize, some of them criticize Baptists and Methodists, saying they haven't got it. But I want you to know that you haven't got it. And you're on the borderline, and you're not going on with God, and you're not going back into the world either. And the Lord is highly displeased with you. And He's shown me some of you where you went. You was put slap out of heaven, and I saw the fall that was from the heavens to the earth to where you would crash. And the Lord is highly displeased with you, because you won't serve Him and you've got too much temper and you fly up at every little thing, and especially if the preacher does something to reprove your son or daughter of your loved ones, you're set on fire and you're ready to get to Him. But one of these days you're going to get that temper going and God's going to burn your fields. You need to get straightened out. It's not just your son-in-law and daughter-in-law or your son and daughter that needs to get straightened out. Sometimes they're in better shape than you are because they know less. But you need to get straightened out. There's no need to run to this preacher every time he reproves some of them. Run with your temper, because if you do, you're going to run into the fire. Just as sure as you live. Because when you come, I'm going to put my finger right in your face and tell you that you are a troublemaker. And when I do, it's going to be bad for you. I love you and I'll help you and I'll do anything I can for you. But you need to get off of the borderline and you need to get straightened out. You need to quit hindering people at Little Bethlehem and the people of God. You need to quit gossiping. You need to quit backbiting. You need to quit being in a backslidden condition and professing God. You need to go on out with the world, go with your kind. And the Bible said, make yourself friends of the unrighteous mammon, that they may receive you into everlasting habitation when the Lord rejects you, because He's going to reject you. You that are lukewarm, He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You that stand at the door and won't go in, hinder the others, He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or cold. So then tonight, I want you to bow your heads. I want you to lift up your hands. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to think on these things that I'm saying tonight. I want to pray with you. And if you've never given your heart to God and you never called on God, folks, it's time to quit playing. As sure as you live in this world, it's time to quit playing. The thing's done come down to a fine line, and the closing of the doors come. The closing of the age of the Gentile, as sure as you live, it's come. You say, how will I know that it's closed? You will be blind. And the Bible said you'll not see when good cometh. You won't know until the dart strikes through the liver. The saints will be sealed in and closed in. And everything will go on just the same. And the Antichrist will move in. And all of a sudden you'll find that you're his slave, that you can't resist him. So tonight, knowing these things, I fear and tremble. I preached on the carnal mind this morning. It's death. You that are not spiritually minded, you are dead, twice dead, plucked up by the root, if you've had your last warning. Dead in trespasses and sin while you live. I want you to call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. Don't play religion any longer, folks. Don't play the hypocrite any longer, because it's too late. It's too late. The indignation of God, the Bible said, after that you have come to the knowledge of the truth, and then if you turn and do wrong, he said, there remaineth no more sacrifice for your sin. The blood don't atone no more, but only a fearful looking forward to of the fiery indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So then, I beseech you tonight to call on him. Call on him tonight as we pray. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, again we lift our hands to heaven. Holy Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I ask you to look down from heaven. I ask you to cleanse our heart and cleanse our soul and cleanse our mind. And oh God, you said in so doing we could save ourselves and save others that hear us. Lord, I trust that I'm saving myself in thee tonight by thy strength and spirit and name. Lord, as you said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Oh God, this untoward generation. Lord, it's untoward. It's not toward thee at all. Oh, Ramanda Ramayanda Ramashayo, mighty, wonderful, loving God of heaven, I ask by this wonderful anointing that I feel tonight, this wonderful Spirit of the living God that I feel tonight, I pray that you would break the yoke, that you would take away the bondages, and oh God of heaven, look down out of your world tonight. Save tonight. May every individual here that doesn't know you, Father, may they lift up their voice to thee. And Lord, lift up their hearts to thee. And may they call upon the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. May they call upon the name. Oh, Father, tonight. May they call upon your name and ask you to save them from their sins and from the burning lake of fire. Lord God, because if they close their eyes in death this night, they'll go into the lake of fire. And then after that, Father, there's no more chance. There's no more help. There's no more change. That's eternal, Father. And dear wonderful God, tonight, if there's one that's not right with Christ, if there's one that's in hypocrisy tonight, if there's one that's not going on with God tonight, if there's any one, Heavenly Father, that's not serving you in the beauty of holiness, may they tonight repent. And oh, beloved Father, may they call upon your lovely name tonight. May they call upon it, my Father, and may they be saved and forgiven of their sins. Father, may they repent tonight, and may they find a place of repentance. May it not be like Esau of old. May it not be too late in that he sought it with bitter tears. But Father, he found no place of repentance in that he had sold his birthright and sinned away his day of grace. But may that not be with these people, Father. I know that it will be a little while, and all of the world will have sinned away their day of grace, and the blood will come off of the seat of atonement. There'll be no more grace. And Father, they will receive the mark of the beast, because they are beasts, Father. And therefore, as cattle are marked, Therefore, as the earring marked is put upon the cattle, Lord, that the owner may have them, so will these, Lord, that are born to the first birth, that have no second birth and second life, they being nothing but beast. God, you will earmark them with the number 666. Lord, and they will be brought into the control of their owner, even Lucifer the Antichrist. Let us be the sheep of your pastor. And, O God, let us be filled with your love and kindness. And let us not be a beast. To as many as believe, Father, you said you gave the power to become the sons of God. And we believe tonight in your blood. We confess your righteousness. And, oh, how we feel the connection with that great resurrected Jesus Christ that lived in the body and walked the earth. Lord God, that's living in my body and walking the earth. How I love you, how I praise you, how I appreciate you for saving me from sin, taking the blindness of my ignorance away, my Father. May I ever be grateful and never do anything to grieve you. May I never look back into Egypt. Father, you said anyone having put their hands to the plow, looking back in the things of the world or into Egypt, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, my God, may I never look back. I ask you to save tonight. I ask you to help me to go straight forward, my Father. Oh, dear God, I remember Ezekiel's four-faced man, Lord, as he went straight forward. Lord, he didn't turn to the right nor to the left. I ask in Jesus' name that you bless these people tonight. Save these people tonight. Forgive these people tonight. Heal these people tonight. Meet all of their needs, Father, tonight. Grant it, O God. Hallelujah. Grant it. Let's sing this little chorus as some of you pray and talk to the Lord tonight. Oh, why? Oh, why not tonight? Tell me why, oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? Can you sing with me? Tomorrow's sun may never rise to thy long deluded sight. This is God's time, so then be wise and be saved, friend, tonight. Tell me why, oh, why not tonight? Tell me why, oh, why not tonight? Will I be saved? Then why not tonight? The Bible said today is the accepted time. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do right now. Somebody said, it's not my time. It's always your time. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God has set the time. Now is the time to call on Jesus. Let's sing it one more time. Oh, why not tonight? Sing it with me. Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Then why not tonight? I want you to lift your hands again with me. I hope tonight that you've made your decision. I really do. And I hope, of course, you've made the right decision. I really do. Because it may be an eternal decision. I remember having a service one night. A man was sitting on my right. The best I remember, fairly young man, not a boy. And I felt sure that that night he should come to God. And I spoke, but the man didn't come. As far as I know, it was before noon the next day. He was dead and in a coffin. I went by and looked at his dead face. So is the case many times. It could be your time right now. It's always your time. But it's up to you. You have to do it. No one else can do it. You say, Lord, I just got a few more things I want to do. That's okay. Go ahead and do them. I remember a man who was having a prayer meeting in his home. I learned something about his life. He was a good man. He was a preacher. And he told me, he said, Brother Pike, said, this is my home. Got a nice lake out in the back of my house. Said I was called to the ministry. The Lord called me to the ministry. And I said, Lord, I'll go. I just want to get me a house, a little place to live. Want to get me some place of convenience and comfort. And he said the Lord went along with him and let him go ahead and get his house. He did. God gave him time. He got his house and got him a little lake in the back. And everything was fixed up real nice. He said, but that little one, Brother Pike, that was so dear to my heart, said he drowned in that lake. I neglected God's little ones and loved ones and babes. He said, I lost my babe. He said, God let me get what I wanted. He said, but I paid a terrible price for it. You know, that's bad, isn't it? That's bad. I remember a cousin of mine, to the best of my remembrance. Her and her husband didn't get along right. And one day something happened. They were in good shape financially, land, houses, or whatever. But it cost them a price for not getting along right, for one of their little ones fell into the well. It's a bad situation. We could go on and on. But after all, you've heard these things before. You'll hear them again if you live to hear them. If not, then someone will live to hear about you and how that you failed. But whatever God requires, whatever we do, whatever we sow, we reap. Be sure God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. Seeing that the angels received a just recompense of reward for every transgression, how shall God let you escape if you neglect this great salvation? We're going to sing one more chorus together, and then I'm going to ask somebody to dismiss us tonight. I hope things is right with you. Give me another key, Frank, and let's sing this chorus, Sweep Over My Soul. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me like this then. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild, stormy deep. But in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing one more time? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Wind, he reached down his hand for me. Wind, he reached way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me. One more time. When my Savior reached down for me. When he reached way down for me, I was lost and undone without God or his Son. When he reached down his hand for me. Can you lift your hands up one more time? Oh, I feel God tonight. I mean, I really feel God tonight. I feel God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I feel thy presence, my Father. Great and mighty Father, in your wonderful, loving name. Have your wonderful way tonight. I can tell tonight, Master, that you're concerned about these souls. And Lord, that there's great danger ahead. There is danger, Father. And deathbeds are coming. I can see it out there, oh Lord. But I'm trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus. Oh my God, have mercy on these people tonight and save them. Save their souls before it's too late. Let them call on the name of the Lord. Oh God, save loved ones, save people, Father, around the world tonight. Have your merciful way and bless the lovely people of Bethlehem. Oh Father, I know we stumble and we stagger, but because of your blood, there's some lovely people at Bethlehem. Bless them, darling Father, tonight. Let your Spirit rest upon them. Let the blessings of the Lord be upon them. And let the wisdom of the Lord be with the true and the just. Lord God of heaven, make them great and mighty. Bless them in all that they do. Bless in the name of Jesus. You said whoever I bless would be blessed. Whoever I curse would be cursed. Oh Lord, I bless these children of God. I bless them in the name of Jesus tonight. In the name of the lovely child, the holy child, Jesus. I bless them in your name tonight, Father. In Jesus' name. I bless them. And they will be blessed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you've got your hands up loving Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Lynn Lundebo to come up here tonight and dismiss us. While Lynn comes to pray tonight, and to call on the name of the Lord. I feel the mighty anointing of God. I want you to pray with Lynn. Let him pray for you and believe with him tonight. Believe for your soul. Run for your life tonight. Believe for your soul before it's too late. Lynn.